I'm going to present findings on a study that was done with adults. And it was a mixed method study. And what I'm going to present on today, however, are the findings from the qualitative part of that study. And bear with me for a second. There are no relevant disclosures regarding the research and information that I'm presenting in this presentation. I want to give just a little bit of background. This is, I'm sure, preaching to the choir. As we know, obesity has become a major health crisis in the United States. And we also know that there are certain groups that are disproportionately affected. African Americans or blacks have the highest age-adjusted rates of obesity compared to any other race or ethnic group. We also know that African American women compared to other women have the highest rates of being overweight or obese compared to other race and ethnic groups. We were particularly interested, Dr. Musavel and I, in looking at and better understanding the role that culture plays, so the sociocultural influences of behavior. And so I wanted to pull in this article to kind of help shape or give some context to the presentation as I move forward. And I will come back to it, and I know so those of you who are only readers and purveyors of peer-reviewed journals may not want to read this further, but I strongly encourage those of you who like to get some other stuff in terms of reading other than articles out of peer-reviewed journals, to really take a look at this fascinating article that ran in the New York Times. And it was written by Alice Randall, and I have the link and citation to it. But what really struck me is her position on the cultural norms and beliefs and attitudes that she believes black women hold that contributes to the obesity crisis within that population or among that population. She pulls in some non-health and non-medical and scientist to cite in her article, but it which makes it even more fascinating. So she cites, for example, the black poet Lucille Clifton's 1987 poem, Homage to My Hips. And it really untangles or disentangles this way that culture influences perception and the way that perception influences behavior. And so I think what we just saw in the previous presentation, there's evidence to show how that actually transcends and transfers to adulthood. And what our findings in our research, it was a multi-site, faith-based health promotion intervention. It was conducted or carried out among actually all African-American population, three historically black churches in a rural area in Virginia. In this particular area, blacks had disproportionately higher rates of multiple chronic health conditions, including obesity, cancer, which is one of the conditions that actually led us to that particular area to conduct research, and of course all of the obesity-related chronic conditions that one might think of, and so high prevalence of diabetes, high blood pressure, or hypertension in the area as well. As I mentioned before, it was mixed methods. We did conducted a pre and post health needs and behavior survey, and the focus groups. So we had sex stratified focus groups. So there were two focus groups conducted with men and three focus groups conducted with women. We had three initially scheduled with the men, but one of the groups was canceled and we were never able to reschedule it within the time frame that we had to conduct the study as promised to the funders. The total sample for the focus groups was 37, and as you can see, a larger percentage or proportion of women compared to men. Our study research questions that we wanted to answer in our study are, one, what does obesity mean, and what are the cultural norms, including beliefs, attitudes, and values that are used to explain obesity or being overweight among this population of African Americans? And I want to stress this population of African Americans, because in our research that we do not approach the African American community as a monolithic or a homogeneous population. It is a very heterogeneous population, and it varies not only based on SES and experiences, but there are differences, regional differences, and you're going to see, I think, some of that that we found in our findings. We also wanted to know what the barriers were that prevented African Americans or blacks from maintaining a healthy weight, and wanted to know if there were differences in the way that men compared to women perceived being overweight or obese. So just to give you an idea of the demographics, again, it was all African American, about 76% female, and this was based on the demographic surveys that we, the pre-survey that we conducted, and in order to participate in the focus groups, you had to have completed the survey. So the focus group participants are representative of the larger sample, survey sample. The mean age was 55, and the largest a large majority of them were married, and they were mid to low SES in this particular area. Basically, based on the fact that they had higher than average in terms of the state average of completion of high school and some college. And then also in this particular area, there were some that had higher than the mean income for that particular area, but 61% of them had less than 40,000 a year household incomes. So the results from our qualitative study, we found several emerging themes that I think are particularly interesting and that we wanted to present to you today. One is that obesity is perceived as a derogatory or a negative term. And so simply using the term obesity sparked some quite interesting conversations and discussions. So for example, the women preferred to view themselves as fat or overweight, but not obese. The men, however, used the terms fat and overweight as their definition of obese. I'm sorry, so the men used fat and overweight not as descriptors, but as the way they define being obese, as opposed to the women who use it as the descriptors. They would not identify with that term, obese. They said, we are not obese, as the title of the presentation. I'm just fat, and I'll go further with that. Obesity is also defined by behavior. So one of the respondents or participants said, when asked to describe obesity and define and how they defined obesity, pinched a bulb, grabbed a bulge at her stomach flesh, and said, you know, see this here, this is fat. Obese is when it's hanging all out over your clothes and you're going back to get that next plate of food at Golden Corral. And so this was not a unique response. Again, we pulled the more common themes, the emergent themes. Many of the respondents, both male and female, described obesity in terms of what people did. And they described it in terms of associating it with food. So having high plate, one man responded, having a plate that's piled high with food, finishing that and going back and piling it high again. And so behavior, they described it in terms of behavior, what people did, not the way they looked. We also found that the perception that obesity is viewed differently by health professionals and whites than blacks. There were strong opinions about how blacks felt that we need to consider, going back to even the New York Times article, which I'll conclude with a little more in detail, this notion that there's this belief that when you look at our bone structure, we're just big bone people. White people are little bone people, the respondent said. When they look at us, we're just fat and obese. But when they look at them, and they're, I mean, really obese, then they're just fat. I think it has to do with our culture and the way we live and the way society sees us as a whole. This was a common theme, and another person tagged on to that. Yeah, I go into the mall and I try on clothes. You can tell they're made for skinny white girls and not for black females. Or one said, you know, they just need to accept that fat doesn't look the same on us. And so we got all of these very interesting comments about how they perceived how they were being perceived by medical professionals, and that the model in which obesity was defined and measured was based on the physiology of white women, or the physical appearance of white women. So again, these are some perceptions that affected the way obesity, they responded to obesity. Other respondents said, I don't want to say it, but black men like their women with some meat on their bones. And this was a male respondent. A female respondent said, culturally in the South, most men, to be honest, they don't really like skinny women. Again, this gets to the perceptions, and we are talking about a rural population, not generalizing it to the beliefs of all African Americans, but if you go back to that New York Times article, which I hope you do get a chance to actually pull it up and read it on your own, you will see that this belief that our bodies are different, and that they are perceived different, and that black men want black women looking differently, is a commonly held perception. Determining who is obese is subjective. It's a common viewpoint that others are obese. And so I was the actual focus group moderator, and in the room there were some women who, to me, look like would meet the clinical definition or the medical definition or the BMI measure of obese. But they strongly rejected that notion. There were some men who looked obese and strongly kind of rejected, played around with that idea that they're obese. Now, the men were more willing to accept that there was something wrong with their, you know, I know I need to lose weight. I know I done let it get all out of control and so forth. But the women, they tended to other this whole notion of what obesity looks like. And so for them, they said, this one particular respondent who I think illustrates the responses on this particular question said that, I work with a man, he's obese, but he doesn't see it as being obese when he takes two steps and can't breathe. But he sits at lunch and his lunch looks like all the kids in the classroom lunch, but he continues to eat. But to him, and I asked him, I had to, he said, no, I'm not obese, I'm just fat. But I said, I'm fat. And to me, the reason why I pulled her is because to me, she looked to be obese to me. She was very, very large in size, and actually later disclosed that she had several health conditions. She was diabetic, she had hypertension, high blood pressure, and she said that she was going in, they were going to check her heart because they were possible, but she rejected the idea that she was obese. She said she's just fat. And so another thing that came out is Southern culture is embedded with behaviors that contribute to gaining weight and becoming fat, because they did not identify or accept this, embrace this idea that obesity was real, was a real label that they could identify with. So really, you know, everything really is centered around food, especially in the South. And for the sake of time, I won't read this, but it really just gets to, you know, somebody's always bringing something and it's usually not baked chicken. Usually it's fried chicken, potato salad, a socket to me cake, a honey bun cake. And so women in the focus group, you know, were yes. So they were, you know, agreeing with this. And that was particularly interesting, I think, for our research focus. So the other question was the causes of the overweight problem among blacks in the South. Overeating, unhealthy food choices, stressful lifestyles came out over and over again, especially get this, with the men. Men talking about, well, not especially with, but also with the men. Men saying, you know, being stressed out and not being able to disclose it to anyone, not being able to talk to anyone, having to hold it together for their families. So stressful lifestyles and not exercising. And I want to mention about this unhealthy food choices. They mention sometimes it's not by choice, but due to not having healthier alternatives. So having to go to grocery stores that are miles away or not really being able to have that healthy alternative. And interestingly, talking about how their farms, how they lost their farms, or, and this was in a rural area that was an agrarian economy, that agriculture drove the economy for many years. And so realizing that, you know, now they don't farm as much. They don't grow their own foods as much. And to me, it identified an area that would be really prime for gardens, going back and showing the farmers how to recultivate their land. Some of the barriers preventing healthy lifestyles to combat obesity, not enough time, always talking about not enough time, having demanding schedules, and particularly the women, worrying about others, caretaker roles. Again, stressful lifestyles came up specific to this question about the barriers. Habits from childhood, you know, a man said, mama cooked it that way, I married a woman, her mama cooked it that way, and now she when I married her, she started cooking it, and I have to have some bread on the table every night, and she makes the bread, or either she brings a loaf of bread. And you know, so it was very interesting, this whole notion of passing down these behaviors. So the conclusions, cultural norms, perceptions, and social networks play a significant role in how blacks, in our particular sample again, perceive obesity. Language is important in how health behaviors are perceived. So when we go into rural communities, and particularly looking at African Americans through faith-based organizations that have events that are heavily focused on food at the end and parts of celebration, being careful about using these terms that we have identified as the appropriate terms or labels, and really, I think, understanding that how that can keep us from getting the information or the data that we're going in to seek when we go in and we say obesity, and they're like, oh, not me, and they don't check our box. So really understanding the importance of language and how obesity, how language is perceived and used. And obesity was also described as a behavior and not an outcome. So really looking at that more. Further exploration is also needed to better understand how to change the cultural perception of black women's bodies, because the bottom line is obesity is related to many chronic health conditions, and whether they want to call it obesity or not, getting black women to understand that it's not a genetic disposition, that blacks are not just genetic, just big-boned people. And I know there's some disagreement in the literature on that, but I think holding on to that as the sole truth, as the absolute truth, is doing more harm. And maybe finding a way to educate black women and get them to perceive their body, to embrace, sure, the differences that they want to hold on to, but to understand that being overweight is something very different than I think some of these aesthetics and cultural norms that they embrace. Further exploration of the role of stress and its role as a barrier to healthier lifestyles, promoting family support and conversations about healthier lifestyles, and also promotion of healthier lifestyles within the context of healthy living. Again, going back to this, it's okay to embrace and to hold on to your cultural beliefs and even some of your cultural practices, but better understanding which ones are contributing to bad health outcomes or poor health outcomes.